This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Premier Sports Radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
It's always nice when the Talk Sports boys decide to take a little three-day weekend, a little R&R, well-deserved. Means the Drive can slide into the Fan Run studios early. We don't have to do the awkward, hurried transition. Come on, guys, get out. We're trying to get started here. You're listening to ads for what seems like forever. Are they ever going to start? We've been in studio for like 20 minutes, just chilling. Me and Jake. Davey Hudson, the Lenoir City Bulldog, is here. You never know who you're going to bump into on a Friday here around Fan Run. What's up, Dave?
Not much, guys. How we doing?
Living the dream. Good to see you. You're looking tanned, rested, relaxed.
Yeah, trying to.
Mustache is coming in all right.
Yeah, I actually had a full beard up until yesterday.
I didn't think it was funny what Houston, that little meme he put out about you.
I didn't see that till this morning. Not even man enough to tag me.
I didn't think that was funny.
I don't think I've seen it yet.
Really funny.
It was like some old-timey meme, and it just said something like, I have all these problems, but the biggest problem is my face, or something along those lines.
Oh, that's
not cool. Did kind of look lucky. Let's bring in Bear, who's joining us on the road this afternoon. He's traveling. He had a doctor's appointment. And still, he will not miss the show, the Iron Horse of Fan Run Radio, Bear Gehrig, joining us. Good afternoon, Bear. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic, Russ. Got fantastic news.
Oh, yeah? You want to update us?
Yeah, I am currently, excuse me.
Coughing? Short of breath?
A little bit.
Okay.
Sorry. It's I had to walk. Cancer-free.
Hey!
Yeah,
well done.
I am a cancer survivor. Was told that everything that between the radiation, the chemotherapy, and the surgery could not have gone any better.
Well, all they had to do was roast your insides with whatever chemotherapy is, aim a laser at you with heat and radiation, and then basically tear you in half.
Yeah. I do want it noted, only missed two shows a week of surgery. I did complete Friday from my hospital bed while on morphine.
Do you even remember, really remember any of that?
I remember bits and pieces of that show. Not a whole lot. Wednesday, the day, everything's kind of a blur right now.
Well, so, you drive careful. You drive careful, my friend.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to enjoy doing the show with you guys. And I would like to, real quickly, thank everybody, listeners, all the guys at the station, everybody, from the GoFundMe to just all the thoughts and prayers and well wishes. I don't know that I could have made it the past 5 months without all that, especially the thoughts and prayers and just good vibes. So from the bottom of my heart, you all will never know how much I appreciate it. So.
All right, man. Well, we're proud of you, and drive careful and chime in when you can here. We're going to have Aaron Torres stop by here in just a few minutes. Yeah, looking forward to talk to him. He's been tweeting a lot about what's going on here, and I wanted to get Davey in here for a few minutes. He's been kind enough to join us, get his take and sort of the, I guess, three and out reaction to what's been a monumental and transformational week in college football. Texas and Oklahoma are leaving the Big Ten, according to multiple reports. And it looks like this
What's
is
happening?
It looks like this is pretty much a done deal, and even to the point where we're already seeing reports about Kansas is apparently talking to the Big Ten, which would be a really smart move for them.
There's that. There's Texas Tech. There's Baylor and TCU reaching out to Pac-12 officials.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's the rats are abandoning the ship. The Big 12 is not going to survive as a Power 5 conference anymore. It'd be interesting. Maybe they can cobble a group of five conference together. Or maybe it just goes away. I don't know, but we're moving forward here, and I have just very mixed feelings about it. Davey, you and I have already talked a little bit about this outside, and we can kind of go over it again, but I have mixed feelings, man. On one hand, it feels like the end of an era.
It definitely is.
It feels like the end of the – I mean, this is why I got into radio, is because college athletics, mostly college football, college basketball – I like it better than the pro stuff. I like the pro stuff fine, don't get me wrong, but there's nothing like the pageantry and the passion of college sports, and I feel like that is dying right in front of our eyes. Now, that doesn't mean that college football ends. It's going to keep going. It's going to be fun, I'm sure. We're going to keep watching it and talking about it, and there's no reason that it can't be very good, maybe just as good, maybe better. None of us know, but it does feel like this is a line of demarcation in the history of American sport.
For sure, and I talk about it on Three and Out, but you kind of have to look at certain events that have been set in motion that change the landscape of college athletics throughout, we'll say, the last 40 years. And the first one that set things in motion happened in 1984, whenever Oklahoma and Georgia, which is kind of funny because now they're about to be in the same conference, but they were not able to have a TV rights deal to where they could broadcast a top five matchup. And the NCAA said no. So they sued. Case goes to the Supreme Court. Schools win. So this is when you start to see these TV rights deals come into play. When you see that happen, that's also when the coaches started to make a lot of money. And obviously, with those TV rights deal, that's where the money came in. And so you just saw these schools build bigger and bigger. And you saw college football really kind of at its peak, you know, in the 90s from a, oh, wow, this is huge. And then I felt like once the 2000s got here, like the roof was just blown off the top. And we've continued to get to this point. And we know the cheating is there. But what has recently happened with this Supreme Court case that we had in 2021 this summer, as it's relating to what the NCAA is able to do and seeing how the name, image, and likeness is going to be moving forward. But the biggest part about that is, so that's kind of like I consider the modern era of college football from 1984 to 2021, and now we're entering into that next stage. And you said it, Russ, but like we don't know what we're going to get. But I do think I have an idea of, if you know kind of what you want, I can tell you whether you're going to like it or not.
Well, yeah, I mean, what do you want? You want Tennessee to be good? You want Tennessee to be profitable? Yes, we want all these things. I think it's going to be hard. The thing I keep coming to, my mantra this week, and as people have asked, is this going to be good for Tennessee? Well, no, probably not. On its face, you add two of the best, biggest brands, one of the best teams in college football the last 20 years, one of the biggest brands of all time. It's only going to get harder. But the thing I keep coming back to is it starts with Tennessee, and whether or not these two teams come into our league, Tennessee still has to fix Tennessee. Nobody is going to do it for us. And we have to start making better decisions about our state, about our university, and about our athletics department. And it's frustrating for fans because we don't have a ton of control over this, but they've got to hire better athletics directors, and we've got to hire better football coaches. We've got new ones right now, and we are all hoping for the best. We're all supportive behind these guys, Danny White, Josh Heupel, and we're going to push you and try and push you to be great, and they should want that. And it's going to happen whether they want it or not. And if they're not, then we'll continue the cycle. But the bottom line is Tennessee has to start getting these hires right, And that has been the bigger problem, even bigger than Nick Saban. I know we're all just waiting on him to retire, but the biggest problem is the decisions Tennessee has made have just been monumentally bad hires time and time again. That's got to stop, or it just doesn't matter who else is on the schedule.
That's definitely why you're where we are now. Now, I want to put it out this way, that at least everyone from a how they want to navigate the landscape moving forward, they're on an equal playing field because they haven't seen it before. Now, you can say, well, this team's good right now and this team's not. Well, with the way the NIL is going to set up and conferences in general, because now we're starting to see, as we started the show off with, these super conferences being formed. You're getting these super leagues. And I don't know if you're exactly going to get like a 4-16-team conference and you're going to have it to where it's like, all right, you got the East and the West and the North, that they start to develop more of an NFL-style approach to how they're wanting to have the season. But one of the things, if you're not a fan of the bad non-conference games, the FCS opponents, you don't want to say like, ah, that game, like no one's really tuning in to watch it. I don't think you're going to have to worry about that much more. I think you're going to start to see that there's not as much money to be made there, and the SEC is going to start to go away from it. You're going to, after having COVID and how that changed the schedules to where all you did was play conference games and conference teams, the SEC said, wow, I know some of these games aren't as competitive, but they're much more entertaining, and the storylines leading up to this game, it's better than, we'll say, if Tennessee's bringing in ETSU. And no offense to ETSU, but if you want to have those games, get rid of your orange and white game and bring them down here during the spring.
Bear, what are your thoughts on Diamond Dave's approach this afternoon?
Hell, I don't know. If they join up, the big thing for me is I would like for them to keep divisions, and I would like to boot Missouri to the west, bring Auburn and Alabama over to the east, because there's no way they're not going to let us out of playing Alabama every year. If they go to those 14 pods, divisions, whatever, the ones I keep seeing and from the people I'm seeing it from, the one that keeps really popping up to me is Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt. Well, the hell with that. I mean, if we're going to have to keep playing Alabama every year, keep the divisions, bring Alabama and Auburn over, and force Florida and Georgia, just by Alabama being in the Eastern Division, will force them to play them every year. And that will level the playing field as far as, you know, Alabama goes.
You know,
I don't see that game moving forward being an every year thing. But personally, I don't think they should keep divisions.
You're nuts, man. They aren't dropping the Alabama-Tennessee game.
Who's they?
I don't. The SEC. They'll keep that.
They make a ton of money off that game? Is that drawing a lot of eyes?
It's just they're not letting it go, man.
Here's what I'll tell you, Bear.
I wouldn't be too focused
on what traditions are and where they have been, because I think a lot of that's about to go out the window.
Well, we'll agree to disagree then. I think you're nuts if you think that game's going anywhere.
I don't think anybody knows. I think it's 50-50, and I think you both make some good points. I mean, I think that the key thing here is, and this is interesting, man, because this changed the way I thought about this. I haven't thought about it like this until earlier today when I was listening or reading somebody else making this point, is, you know, 10 years ago when we went through this, it was all about TV markets, right? It was all about, you're not adding Missouri for Missouri football. You're adding it for the St. Louis TV market. And you're adding Texas A&M for Dallas-Fort Worth and other Texas-based TV markets, because it was cable subscriptions and eyeballs and all that stuff. Now in the day and age of everybody cutting the cord, it's more about matchups and content. And you add Texas and Oklahoma, well, that's 20 more monster college football games that 2 or 3 million people are going to watch, that you can go out and make big money advertising if you're ESPN selling and pitching those games. From that perspective, Tennessee-Alabama, though the luster is off, it was the 3:30 CBS game last year. It was on ESPN primetime the year before that. Yeah, we've sucked, but that's still a pretty big draw. Now, if Oklahoma and Georgia are playing that week, you probably put that one on ahead of Tennessee and Alabama in the primetime matchup. But I still think there's some attraction there. But that's the thing that Greg Sankey and the boys in Charlotte at the SEC Network are looking at is what are compelling matchups that we can put on television so that we can go and maximize the value of these.
The coaches have talked about it. You're not going to see a permanent cross-division rival much longer in the SEC. And you look at it because, well, let's say, Bear, we go with your theory of we'll put eight teams in each division. Well, to do that, if you're going to continue, and I think they'll move it to nine games eventually, but you're still having that problem of you're only going to face a certain team once every 5 years. And what's the point of having a 16-team conference if majority of the teams never even see each other? That's where I would at least see the pod idea coming more likely than being an eight-team division for the East and the West. And also, geography doesn't matter now.
I'm telling you right now, and you saw it last year with that 10-team thing and all the behind-the-scenes shenanigans that went on with Georgia and Florida, you know, Georgia and mainly Georgia and Alabama, is that Tennessee's going to end up lumped in, I guarantee you, they'll get lumped into a pod with Alabama, Auburn, and Vandy. We're not. You're nuts if you think they aren't going to keep playing Alabama.
I don't think he's nuts, Bear, because who wants this? Tennessee doesn't want it anymore. It doesn't seem like Tennessee's fight. Dave Hart fought for it, but not Fulmer was like, oh, yeah, we've got to preserve this. I haven't heard Danny White say anything about it. I guarantee you Josh Heupel doesn't want to play him every year. And I don't detect from Alabama.
I'm not saying anybody from Tennessee wants it.
Well, then who wants it?
I just think it's still Southern College football's oldest rivalry.
So what? Who?
I mean, it's like you said, we suck ass.
Oh!
3:30 game.
Bear, what's been, if you look back and you hear people.
Hell, I don't know, man.
I'm going to ask you a question. Just hold on. Of the last decade for the Tennessee
you keep
Volunteers.
Clapping gums at me.
I'm what?
What?
Who wants it? Somebody answer me that question. Who is banging the drum saying we want Tennessee and Alabama every year
I
on the third Saturday?
I think there's a significant portion of both
who?
Fan bases that want to see it. The old people.
The old people?
The people.
Yeah.
So people do we don't spend money and are dying?
I mean, I was about to say, yeah. I mean, do we just wait them out?
Oh, hell, you ought to see this thing then.
Wow.
Yeah. What Somebody's I was going to ask cranky. Him, though, what I was going to ask Bear before he
took his ball and went home.
Yeah.
He straight up just hung up the phone on us.
I mean, he didn't even let me get my question
out. He'll be fine. Just go ahead.
Okay. I was going to ask him, which game for the Tennessee Volunteers, and I know we've not been great over the last decade, has been the best environment for Neyland Stadium in the last 10 years?
Oklahoma.
It's not even an SEC team. So you make new traditions. They're like, whoa, this is the oldest one in the – like, you look at that, the game outside of a few years – it's not even close. Even when Peyton Manning was playing, like we dominated that. They dominate us now. It's just a game you show up, and people are like, we got to keep the tradition together. Nobody outside of the word tradition can give me a reason as to why we keep that game.
Well, it's not like we play for a trophy every year. It's not like we're
– I'm not even placing a value. I value the tradition, man. Like, I do think the rivalry is cool and everything. I totally get that, but I just think that tide has turned, so to speak, in that I don't sense a lot of people, even Bear said that the old timers are the ones. I do this show. I talk to, not going to name names here, but several callers of a certain vintage who they've changed. They don't want to play Alabama anymore because they realize that
that's a guaranteed loss.
It's a guaranteed loss. And B, that's boring. I don't. Yeah. We already know exactly what's going to happen in the Tennessee-Alabama game this year.
And, I mean, the reason to have these 16-game conferences or these 16-team conferences is to create more storylines, to have better matchups. So the SEC is going to do whatever they need to draw more eyes to the television, and they're going to find matchups that are intriguing. And it's not like you're going to say we're not going to have it every other year. Like, they're going to continue to have that stuff. But it's not like why does this game or any game – at all. Like, you look at any game on the schedule for Tennessee, why does that game need to be played every single year?
No, I mean, I think last year and COVID caused all of us to look at and say, what are we doing here and where is this thing going? David, we got to run. We got Aaron Torres coming on here in just a minute. Thank you for dropping by. It's good to hear your perspective, even though you ran Bear off.
Yeah,
he'll be fine.
You get that on them big jobs.
What closing thoughts Where does this thing go next? What are we talking about next week in the world of college football?
Next week, the conversation will be just making sure that you have enough votes to get Texas and Oklahoma in. I don't see that being a problem. Texas A&M, they were left in the dark as it related to the conversations. Apparently, Texas and Oklahoma reached out to the SEC over 6 months ago, and Texas A&M had no clue it was happening. The SEC did not tell A&M what was going down. They're very frustrated at the moment, but at the end of the day, it's all about money. And if you follow the money, you're just going to continue to get more games. You're going to get better matchups. And I do think that resetting the playing field is the best thing for Tennessee right now, because based off the current format, we're not getting up off the mat.
Davey Hudgen, check him out weekday mornings from 7 to 10 here on Fan Run Radio with 3 and Out. You keep those dullards, Kress and Hodges, in line. Good to see you, Dave. Have a great weekend.
Good to see you guys as well. Y'all take care, all right?
We'll be back with Aaron Torres of Fox Sports Radio National coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Attention homeowners. Did you know your home equity might offer excellent borrowing?
Fan Run Radio. Drive continues. Aaron had to bump back a little bit. We're going to run him down shortly. He's working on something, so coming up in just a few minutes, Aaron Torres, Fox Sports Radio. In the meantime, bang out a few phone calls of our own here. TJ, the Kentucky fan, is up first today. What's up, TJ?
Hey, what's up, guys? Look, I'm going to go quick because there's a lot of things I can say about this, but I love it. Texas, Oklahoma, come on. Look, Tennessee just played Texas in the what was it, the Final Four of basically the College World Series. Kentucky basketball played Texas 3 years ago. It was a phenomenal game, brought in a lot of money, a lot of viewers. Look, Oklahoma's played Tennessee in football, I think, two out of the last maybe five or six seasons, something like that. This is incredible. And look, the NCAA is corrupt. We know that. They've taken billions of money from these schools, from these players. To me, I think this is the first step of the power conferences taking a step away from the NCAA and doing their own thing. And I don't know if you've seen this as well, but the Vegas Insider this morning broke news that Oregon, UCLA, USC, and Colorado are all interested in joining the Big Ten. We're about to see a huge, massive overhaul of the college sports landscape because of this NIL and everything else going on, and I absolutely love it.
Texas and Oklahoma certainly fit within the SEC from a tradition standpoint. I mean, their fan bases, the way they do football and all that stuff, it's a cultural fit. I don't think anybody would argue that. I think there's just a lot of people, including Tennessee fans, who are looking at it and saying, man, it's we're getting pounded here as it is. Now you're going to add these guys into our league as well.
Let me ask you a question. Would you rather be the UCF of a lower tier conference claiming you're a national champion playing these teams who are all below 500, or would you rather maybe in 10, 15, 20, 25 years win a national championship and say, hey, we did it against the best? There's no question about it.
No, it's a good point, and I think that Tennessee fans, Kentucky fans, you do have to be grateful. I mean, if you're the South Carolinas, the Arkansas of the world, I mean, look, you're in the middle of this. Like, if you hadn't jumped in 92, you wouldn't be in this, but you're in this position to receive this terrific financial windfall and to be a part of this special college football family that's been formed. That's pretty cool.
I'm just going to say, in the next 10 or 15 years, you're going to see two power conferences, mega conferences, against the world, and it's going to be the best thing you've ever seen.
TJ, we'll see, man. Thanks for the phone call. Have a great weekend. Let's get Mike in here next. Mike, you're on the Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, I don't call that often, but you know, I'm one of them old people that Bear was talking about. Been around since the mid-60s, you know.
Yeah.
I think this is the greatest thing that ever happened. One, maybe it'll get us away from Alabama. Those days have come and gone. You know, I despise see Alabama come into the stadium. That's the only game I won't go to. It's time to get rid of those guys so everybody catches up. And with this new alignment, Texas, Oklahoma coming, guess what? Their five stars going there. Their Alabama's going to have some competition. The best thing that happened to Tennessee is for Alabama to get their tail kicked every time they play somebody and still us all pulling for them.
All right, how about just getting their tail kicked by somebody occasionally? That'd be a good start.
Yeah.
That'd be
a good start. Yeah. Mike. That'd be a great start. A great start. But anyway, my question is, do you guys there not feel this is just a lucky break for Tennessee? One, the NCAA might as well dig them a ditch and fall in it, because this is a super conference that's really going to tell everybody else that's not a super conference, this is what we're going to do. So my question is, isn't this the perfect thing to happen after the perfect storm of Jeremy Pruitt?
Is this the perfect thing to happen following the Pruitt debacle?
Yes. Is this not our saving grace? That's the way I look at it as a 67-year-old that's watched Tennessee since the mid-60s.
Financially, yeah, it is. Competitively, I don't know that it has that big of an impact on Tennessee. I really don't. And I hate to be a broken record here, but it just feels to me like Tennessee's got to fix Tennessee before. Forget Alabama. Forget Oklahoma, right. Texas. We're trying to beat Missouri. We're trying to beat South Carolina, Kentucky.
Our rivals
schools.
Now are Kentucky and Vanderbilt. That's our rivals now.
Yeah, so
Kentucky,
I mean,
and Vanderbilt.
You got to start dominating those schools and recruiting with the Alabamas, Georgias, Floridas of the world before you can start beating them. So I don't know. Time will tell whether or not it's the best thing that could have happened to Tennessee. But unless Tennessee fixes Tennessee, none of this is going to matter, Mike.
All right. That sounds good to me. Well, thank you for taking
thank
my
you.
Call.
Hey, we appreciate the phone call. Mike checking in, representing callers of a certain vintage there. He's through with the Alabama series as well.
Good stuff.
I feel him. Let's get Aaron Torres in here from Fox Sports Radio. You hear him weekends right here on Fan Run. Aaron, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Oh, man. I'm good, Russ. You know, you and I were texting this afternoon. You know, I literally picked the 1 week this entire year where there was no news this past week. So I was away. I get back. You know, I think I'm just going to see, Mike Leach saying weird stuff in media days and Nick Saban being asked about this. And next thing you know, baby, Texas and Oklahoma. You ready for your first trip to Austin, Russ, or what?
I'm ready for it, man. I'm ready. We were just talking with the caller. There's definitely a cultural fit. Everybody's worried. Everybody's excited. Everybody's got their opinions. You cannot deny that the way Oklahoma and Texas do football is a fit with the way everybody else in the SEC does football.
There's no doubt. And there's so many layers to peel back on this.
Sure.
But I think the thing that a Tennessee fan has to remember, and I know it's been a long time, and I'm not here to joke or poke or whatever, but, you know, I don't think the Big 12 is going to be very much longer.
No.
And if it is, it's going to be greatly weakened. And I think in this 12-team playoff era, that's the important thing. I don't know if this move gets made, if we're still talking about a 14 playoff 10 years from now. But in the 12-team playoff era, I think we're looking at a minimum of 3 to 4 SEC teams every single year. I just don't see how it couldn't be based on the landscape of where college football is and even, frankly, where it's going. So, you know, it's been interesting to hear from Tennessee fans, to hear from Ole Miss fans, to hear from Arkansas fans saying, this is not good for our football program. And yeah, it's going to be an uphill battle to compete with Texas, Oklahoma, on top of Alabama, Georgia, Florida, et cetera. But to me, that's the thing that an Arkansas fan, an Ole Miss fan, I mean, any of these programs in the last 10, 15 years, you've won 10 or 11 games. You've been at the top of this league. And as weird as it sounds, I think, you know, you're only going to have to be in the top 3 or 4 to continue to compete. So I don't think this is a death sentence for any stretch for really any pro. Maybe the one across state, it's probably not great news for. But, you know, in terms of the cultural fit and everything, it obviously makes sense. And I think from a football fit, the more that I think about it, the more that I realize that it's not going to be a death sentence for the Arkansas, Ole Miss, schools like that.
You know what's interesting about this to me, Aaron, and I know that you find these types of things interesting too, is we're seeing reports today. Breck McMurphy said they started talking about this back in January, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were able to keep that quiet for 7 months. And I don't think anybody believed that they just started this stuff this week. But this day and age, 2021, when three people can keep a secret only if two of them are dead, it's pretty remarkable that they were able to keep this under wraps for as long as they were.
That's so funny. Yeah. No, that was my big takeaway, too. And it's funny, you know, I was talking to somebody at A&M today, and, you know, nobody important. Like, I'm not talking like, you know, I was talking to Jimbo Fisher or anything, but that was one thing they said is like, yeah, we don't really like this, but we kind of respect the fact that it stayed as close to the vest as it did. Now, as you said, there were some reports that maybe A&M was purposefully kept out of the loop to make sure that they didn't, you know, mess anything up, which they tried to do the other day at Media Days.
For good reason, evidently.
So I don't know, man. It's crazy, but that is probably, you know, outside of the football this, 12-team playoff that, divisional this, all that, that's the thing that stands out to me is the fact that in this day and age, and especially Texas, you know, there's more leaks in Austin than there was in the freaking Titanic, you know, and the fact that this all stayed under wraps for as long as it did, to me, it showed the seriousness of it. And I'll say this, too. I've had a couple people comment on it because, you know, there's some tweets that I put out on Wednesday afternoon, right when all this happened. You know, I did my podcast that night. But you realize pretty quickly, you know, the first inclination I think we all kind of just think is, well, you know, whatever, it's Texas being Texas, we'll see what happens. And I think we all realized pretty quickly that it was more serious than we maybe initially thought. But it is because it became more serious than we thought because of the fact that they kept things so close to the vest. And this wasn't something that popped up in the last week or two, Russ, but as you said, has really been in the process, in the works for 5, 6, 7 months now.
And already we're starting to see the dominoes fall. It sounds like Kansas is talking to the Big Ten. That seems like a good move to both parties on first glance from my perspective anyway. I'd be interested to hear you talk about this being a more of a basketball guy or a big basketball guy as well, Aaron. Is what's next for that league? Is it certainly looks like everybody is trying to find a lifeboat out of there.
That's the part, Russ. And you know, I think everyone, I know that they had a meeting between the eight other schools that aren't Texas and Oklahoma last night. I think everyone's going to put on a big united front and, you know, we're going to get through this together and all that. I think everybody's looking for their own way out. And this is, you know, for people who don't remember the day-to-day, minute-to-minute of all this a decade ago, this is a lot of how it went down at that point. And you know, I even have a more unique perspective because, you know, my alma mater, UConn, in the Big East, I mean, that was the ultimate breakup where Syracuse and Pitt go to the ACC and Rutgers goes to the Big Ten and there's a couple schools left over and Louisville ends up in the ACC and West Virginia's in the Big 12. These were all at the same conference at one point. And so, to me, this has a very similar parallel, more even to what happened with the original Big East that once upon a time played football than anything else. But like I said, they're going to put, you know, Kansas and Kansas State and Iowa State and Baylor, they're going to put up a big public front. But I'm telling you, you know, behind the scenes, each of those individual schools is trying to do what's best for them. Now, look, could in theory the Texas schools try to create some kind of alliance where they pitch themselves to the Big Ten or the Pac-12? I'm sure that's possible. But for the most part, you know, I hate to say it, but it is going to be survival of the fittest. And I think everybody is going to be fighting to get out of what we now call the Big 12 to somewhere else.
I've tried to picture that Kansas athletics director on the phone yesterday, the teleconference on his one phone in his left hand, and in his right hand, he's on the phone with the Big Ten saying, "Hey, you got a spot? You got a spot?"
Kevin Warren, yeah. Kevin Warren, you up? Sending the you up text to Kevin Warren? Yeah, it happened, my man.
Oh, man. What about Notre Dame in all of this. That seems like the crown jewel. I mean, if you're the Big Ten and the ACC, and this is all about accessing this college football playoff, right? You talked about the SEC trying to get four or five teams in. If you're these other two leagues, the Big Ten and even the Pac-12, you're trying to say, all right, who can we get that can get in this thing? And it just seems to be like, you know, Notre Dame's the school, they've already been there. And if ever there was a time that they were just going to join a conference, it would seem like that time is fast approaching.
See, I'll actually disagree with you on that, Russ, is that, you know, they have the sweetheart deal with the ACC. And, you know, two things. One, if the ACC couldn't leverage a relationship with them after last year where people forget they played as an ACC member, that's one thing. But then two, on top of it, Russ, is that I just think with this 12-team playoff, what's the word I'm looking for? Inspiration, whatever.
Incentive.
Why are they inspired to want to join the ACC? Now, I understand that, you know, quote unquote, as of right now, the way the thing is structured, only, you know, conference champions will have access to that first round bye in the 12-team playoff. I get that. But if Notre Dame doesn't have to play a conference championship game, I don't know why they care. And as a matter of fact, Russ, I'd even take it a step further. When I first heard the news that Texas and Oklahoma, hey, we're looking for something a little bit different here, that was actually what immediately jumped out to me was, could Texas pursue independence for that exact same reason in terms of, you know, just basically saying, like, you know, there's 12 teams that are going to get into this playoff. What do we need Georgia and Florida and Alabama for? We can go just play 12 schools, whoever we want, coast to coast, go 10-2, and we're going to get into this playoff as an at-large. And so it feels like that is on the back burner for now. And it feels like if the SEC gets those 11 votes that they need, and I think that they will, that Texas and Oklahoma are going to be headed to the Big Ten, to the SEC. But I only bring it up to say, you know, I think Notre Dame is actually, you know, with the 12-team playoff, I think they have to feel stronger about not needing a conference. And I'm surprised, frankly, a school like Texas isn't more seriously considering it as well.
Well, where do you go if you're these other conferences and you're looking at this happening, and the SEC has already been so dominant in college football, and now they're adding these other two teams? I mean, I don't think any of us think that the other leagues are going to stand pat where they are, and there aren't a lot of other teams available out there. Oklahoma State has been a solid top 25 program and a team that I could see making a 12-team college football playoff from time to time. Mm-hmm. So there's only a handful of teams out there that bring a lot of value. And I would imagine that they're actually, if you're Kansas, you're in a pretty good spot, I would say, all things considering, because you're going to find a home. Oklahoma State's going to find a home. The schools I worry about are the Iowa States, the smaller Texas schools, and the ones like that, Kansas State, that are don't bring a lot to the table in terms of creating interesting matchups for the TV networks and continuing to be in the college football playoff.
Well, no, and that's what's going to be so interesting to me, Russ, is what is the value? And by the way, this is why this all started, was because Texas and Oklahoma seem to believe that Kansas State and Iowa State and even Kansas have no value, or certainly not the value that Oklahoma and Texas bring. And so that, to me, is just going to be a very fascinating trickle-down effect, is what is the value in that? I mean, I tweeted it out a few hours ago, but, you know, as this stuff ramped up this morning, I mean, I had a buddy of mine who coached in the Pac-12. So who are we going after? Am I going to Lubbock next year, or what's the deal? And I'll be curious. I mean, does Texas Tech and you know, Baylor's a little bit of a different deal because they just won a championship in basketball, but we all know this is football related. Do those schools move the needle? Do they get the Pac-12? You know, if you're the Pac-12, if you're the Big Ten, you know, does Texas Tech, does Baylor, does Kansas State, does Iowa State? You only want to add teams for one of two reasons. And I know we have this idea that, you know, everybody's going to 16 and all that stuff, and that may happen. But does Texas Tech and, let's say, Baylor, do they really bring the one of two things that you need if you're the Pac-12? Do they bring, you know, do they change your TV contracts where all of a sudden the networks are rushing to the table to renegotiate? That's not going to happen with Texas Tech. No disrespect to all your listeners in Lubbock there, Russ. Yeah. And two, Does it help you get cachet where it matters most, as you said, in terms of getting teams into the college football playoff? Now, I know Baylor's had peaks and valleys, and just 2 years ago they were playing for a Big 12 title, but I do still sit there and say, I am curious, Russ, and that's one that I don't have the answer to. Do these teams have value to the Pac-12, to the Big Ten? Now, you mentioned Kansas, and Kansas is a national brand in basketball, so maybe Kansas is the outlier here. But, you know, that's going to be just the fascinating thing to me, is what value do these other teams have? Because I'm just fascinated, does the Pac-12 feel like they have to add four teams to get to 16 because the SEC is going to 16? Or do they say, you know what, Texas Tech really isn't going to do much for our TV contract. They're not getting into this college football playoff. We're just going to stick with the 12 that we got.
I would much rather have Oklahoma State if I were the Pac-12, because like I said earlier, they could make a college football playoff. That's not crazy talk. But
I mean, you know, again, and it just, and like, it really ultimately, honestly, just, it all goes back to what I just said a minute ago, and what everybody listening knows and understands, which is that the reason we're in this situation in the first place is because Oklahoma and Texas, they both understand, and in this case, I don't think they're wrong about, they understand that they carry the bulk of the value of the entire conference. So to your point, we're going to find out just how valuable Oklahoma State is, and is a team that's in the top 25, is a team that could potentially, you know, get an at-large bid to the college football playoff as in a 12-team college football playoff, but by no means is an annual kind of contender like Oklahoma. Does that team have value to another conference? Does, again, Baylor, who's been up and down, but they're really good at basketball right now, but what does that mean? Does basketball matter? Texas Tech, they've had interesting teams in the last decade, but none of them are contenders. What I would say is, obviously, I don't see the scenario where the SEC gets the 11, 12 votes needed. I guess they would need four to not allow these teams in. And by the way, that is something different over the last 2 or 3 days that I've come to realize. They're getting these votes. And then from there, I'm as fascinated with what happens with the remaining Big 12, because maybe these teams have value, maybe they don't. We're going to find out pretty quick.
He is Aaron Torres, college football and basketball writer, Fox Sports Radio national host. Aaron, great stuff. You've got Rick Barnes on the podcast again next week.
Yeah, talk about a buzzkill. You know, I interviewed him early in the week, and I had some other stuff that I had to run. And, you know, the former Texas coach, you know, like, it would have been nice to get him on the record with that. But no, Coach Barnes will join me, and we can talk about a lot of different stuff. You know, first of all, you can, go to my podcast page, subscribe now. The new episode will be delivered straight to your phone if you're a Vols fan. But, you know, Coach Barnes, we talked a lot about name, image, likeness. We talked a lot about the transfer stuff. We talked about all the stuff that's going on in college football and basketball, except, of course, for his former school where he spent 16 years coming home. So this Rick Barnes return to Austin that we're getting later this year in basketball season, that might be a semi-annual thing, man. That might be happening every year. So, but he was great, and I encourage, you know, Vols fans, subscribe. You'll have the new episode sent to you on Monday. Obviously, I'll have some reaction off the top of the news of the weekend with this Texas-Oklahoma story. But it is crazy. I'm happy to have had Coach Barnes, but unfortunately, I wish I had waited a day or two to do the interview, but he's a busy man, and I was grateful for his time. So,
well, those are always, I know when you've had him on your podcast in years past, that's always must listen stuff.
So thank you. I appreciate
Tennessee
that.
Tennessee fans will be looking forward to that next week. All right, Aaron, have yourself a great weekend, my man. Thanks for jumping on.
No problem. We will do this again soon, Russ.
Yes.
If things slow down, we'll come back on and we'll talk about what Coach Barnes said.
Let's do it next week. All right, thanks, man.
Later, Russ.
Aaron Torres, Fox Sports Radio, making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive. Got to take a quick timeout right here. We'll come right back with more of your phone calls. The Drive continues on a beautiful Friday here in East Tennessee. Back with more after this on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Hey, it's Russell Smith here for Rickard Ridge Barbecue.
The old Big East was, you remember watching that tournament back in the day?
Sure.
It was just incredible. Basketball. It shouldn't surprise anyone, even though we are kind of surprised at the timing of it. I think it was just a matter of time. And it makes total sense for Texas and Oklahoma. And I think what you said somewhere that, I can't remember, maybe it was with Aaron. I mean, they definitely, you were spot on. They are a cultural fit as far as their football programs.
I'm super excited about making that trip to Texas sometime.
Oh, yeah, that and Norman. Hopefully, hopefully maybe the drive can catch up with Coach Switzer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Down in Norman, Oklahoma.
I got to get out of this voluntary reaction thing, man, so I can start going to games again. Miss it. It's fun.
I mean, you go. You just got to – what do you got to do? You got to leave early?
Yeah, I'm not gonna do that.
We can do it live from the car.
No, we could.
John Reed was the smart one when he bailed on me last year.
Yeah.
Got his life back.
I was a legit idiot for answering the call to you and called me out of the bullpen. I am fired up. When we see Texas roll into Neyland Stadium, you get to punch them in the mouth.
I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
They were pretty good. I was looking at them in Athlon. They were, I don't know what happened. I didn't watch them play much last year, but they were, I want to say, top 10 nationally in total offense. They were seventh in the country in scoring offense.
They had no defense.
They were
kind of fell apart at times.
61st overall in total defense. I mean, it's better than we were. I just remember we remember when we went through our Tom Herman phase.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get.
He was a hot girl.
What's he doing? Where did Tom Herman end up?
I have no clue.
Is he doing pro football somewhere as a consultant or something?
I honest to God, I have no clue. Maybe we get Jake to look that up for us.
Maybe he's getting Saban dust sprinkled on him for a year.
Who knows? I know that Saban dust. I know who's immune to that.
He's an analyst, offensive analyst, and special projects with the Bears.
Good spot. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm fired up about it. I do think that Tennessee fans, we need to. Something that occurred to me is with this, and Aaron mentioned it. With if you're looking at three or four slots. For the SEC, I think that opens it up a little bit more for Tennessee. If, like you said, if we can get back on track and quit shooting ourselves in the foot. And hopefully Josh Heupel will be different from the last three coaches, and he'll be able to get this thing turned around. But, I mean, you're spot on. As long as if he doesn't work and we continue to make bad hire after bad hire, then this is what it's going to be like.
Well, what's interesting here is the definition of success is going to change. No, we're never going to go undefeated again in this format. That's just not going to happen. Bama might be able to do that a little bit under Saban, but I just don't think that's going to happen much anymore under this new configuration. But what's interesting is you're not going to have to in a 12-team playoff, and I'm not so sure that we don't go to 16-team playoffs.
That's kind of what I think is going to happen.
If they go to super conferences and those spots are so valuable, I could see that coming to fruition. And if that's the case, 9-3 can make a college football playoff. So, yeah, it's going to be harder.
Be like the pros.
It's going to be harder to run the table in the regular season, but it doesn't necessarily matter when you're talking about a sport that's about to be even more playoff based.
Yeah, I mean it's not going to be like when we were growing up. It's not a bowl game. It's not a one. Either you win the SEC or you end up in a lower tier bowl. It's we're going to be fighting for one of three or four playoff spots.
Yeah,
I think that if we can just get it turned around, I like our odds a lot better doing it this way.
May the odds be forever in our favor. Stay with us. Hour number two coming up.
The Drive.
If you own a business or have a